We are now in Revelation chapter 17. We will go through the whole chapter, verses 1 through 18. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, I don't know what to say, Lord, except that you are faithful and true, and your word is a lamp unto our feet. It is what gives us hope, encouragement, direction. It is what reveals to us the lover of our soul, our Savior, and our God. So God, my petition before your throne is for that anointing to be able to teach your word, and God, to do it faithfully unto you and deliver it faithfully unto your people, God. I don't want anything of me, God. I am fearful of, Lord, leading anyone astray. So, Lord, I don't come with arrogance. I don't come in an attitude of knowing it all. I come in great humility before your throne and before your people in this, that you may be glorified and your people may be encouraged in the days that we are in the days ahead, that fear not replace faith in your people, but faith rises up in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we get started, I wanted to share something with you as I was studying in this, and I know it seems like it's long in between each chapter that's posted. I take very seriously this study, as I do any study, but especially this, and just wanting to come before you with what I believe God has revealed to me in studying and truly pondering on the Word. And that means to think on it, digest it, bring it back up, think on it, digest it. And so that's what I'm doing with all of this, that I desire to be found faithful. I desire the Lord to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I believe that this is what God has called me to do in these days, that you would go through this, not looking to match it up with everything that's happening, but to find hope in what God has left and recorded for us. Amen. But I was thinking on this as we've been going through this, and truly just thinking about the days that we are living in, because we know that this is written with signs and symbols. We need to be able to see, to read the signs. And this is what came to me. And it was the month that we just came through, the month of June. As in the days of Lot. In Luke chapter 17, and it may be a little bit long, this study, but you're going to be listening on YouTube, so you can break it up, and you don't have to listen to it all at once if you don't want to. But in Luke chapter 17, verses 28-29, likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, and they planted, and they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So in the New Testament, Jesus says it'll be as in the days of Noah and as in the days of Lot. Sometimes we don't always think about it being as in the days of Lot. And what were the days of Lot like? In Genesis chapter 19, verses 4 through 11, it says that now, jumping into the middle of the scripture in chapter 19 in Genesis, and so you go back and read all of this at your own leisure. But it's the angels who have come. God's already told Abraham what he's about to do to these five cities. We always talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, but there were five cities involved. And so these angels, they come to the city where Lot is. Now, before they lay down, the men of the city, Lot had invited them to his home. He said, no, you can't stay in the city square. You cannot remain here. He knows the city he's living in. He knows what's happening there. And so he takes them to his home. He prepares food for them. And it says, now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See, now I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. Then they said, this one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they became weary trying to find the door. And this is the description of Lot's day. So if you wanted to know, it will be as in the days of Lot. This is the description of you of what it's like in the days of Lot. We just came through Gay Pride Month. We have gay parades. We have lawmakers that have made laws to help them in their depravity and to force all the world to accept this behavior as normal, based purely on their sexual desires. Not anything that really helps them as to their person, but it is based purely on their sexual desires. And that is what the laws were in those five cities. That is the behavior. Do you see the behavior? That they came out, and every man and boy, old and young, it was their right to take any new person that came into their city and to do with them as they pleased in a sexual act. They came to Lot, who was a lawmaker in their city. He sat at the city gate. He'd gone from his uncle's home to the outskirts to building a home into the city, dwelling there with them. And he calls them brethren. He is a lawmaker. Just keep that all in mind. And it's amazing, because if we only read that, we only have one opinion of Lot. But this is how God records him by the Holy Spirit through his servant Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 2, we're going to jump in the middle of the verse, in verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example. It is an example to those who afterward who would live ungodly. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So I want you to see that those were the days of Lot. So it says it'll be as in the days of Lot. These cities were unrepentant and demanded it because it was their right, as they saw. But now that was just my little bunny trail for you to be thinking on as you think about Scripture and you think about the times that we're living in and you are looking up for the return of our Lord and our Savior. So we want to begin to break open the bread of life in this chapter. As we look at this, we want to remember that each chapter is not in chronological order. John is seeing sights in heaven and on earth because the angels, they say, now look, and they take him up to heaven, and then they are showing him the things, they take him to the earth and show him things that are happening in the earth, things that are happening in the heaven, things that are happening around the throne. And we remember that John lived in a certain time. John's not a fictitious character. He is an apostle of our Lord and Savior, and he was on the Isle of Patmos at this time. But what he is seeing is present and future. He sees things that he can apply to his day, but then God shows him things that are coming for the future. He is instructed, we know that John is instructed to write what he sees. Remember this, though. This is something that I believe the Lord showed me. Nowhere do we see John writing dates, saying it is on this date that this will happen. Revelation is written in signs and symbols. The Holy Spirit living in us is giving us understanding. Amen? Each one seeing in part, and all who have gone before us, they saw in part, and we are building on their revelation. That's what I'm doing. As I've studied, and the Holy Spirit is giving me understanding, he's giving me things also. And so now I have digested on that and bringing this forth to you, and you will take what I have shown you and you will be able to have further revelation. That's how he works. Precept upon precept. Faith upon faith. God gave this revelation of his Son, Jesus Christ, to his servant John. Things which must shortly take place. God sent angels to John to show him, to speak with him, to give him understanding. And for the church, this is for the church. When John recorded this, this was for the church. Remember, I believe that Daniel saw these things, that God revealed these to Daniel. Daniel was beloved of the Lord also, as John is. And God revealed, I believe, that he showed these things to Daniel, but he told him to seal them up. And you have to go back and read in the book of Daniel, along with Revelation, in the book of Zechariah, along in Revelation. And then you go back and you read Matthew 24 and those scriptures. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal these things and to begin to put it all together for you. And listen, folks, I'm not telling you that I'm an expert. I'm telling you what I give you is what I believe that the Lord has given me through study, through revelation of the Holy Spirit, and I believe that he will give you more. So this was recorded for the church, for the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. This book of Revelation is vital to our walk with the Lord. Do not neglect this. If you have small children at home, you can't explain things. Listen, there is a blessing in read it. Read it to your children out loud. Answer the questions that you can. And remind them of who God is. That he has already ordained this and that he has everything in his hand. It's not out of control. Amen? You remember that also. Chapter 15 and 16 introduced us to the seven angels given seven bowls, the bowls of wrath, that are filled to the limit. They're filled all the way to the brim with the wrath of God to be poured out on the earth and unrepentant mankind, on the beast and his kingdom. Now here John is giving us more detail of understanding of these previous chapters. Keep in mind that it is not for John to write every detail of all that he sees. First, John records events and highlights. And then it's like the Holy Spirit says, now let's take them back and let's reveal this to them. if I do believe that chapters 17, 18, and 19 and 20, I'll tell you as we get to it, but as an overview, is I believe that all of these things, see, if you go and you look at where the whole world in chapter 16, in the where the Euphrates dries up and where the earth is shaken, and all of these things have happened, that then 17, 18, all of these things have happened already, and so now John is giving us more detail. I mean, he's giving us more detail of what's been revealed to him. He sees these things, and is he writing them in the order he sees them? I think he probably is. God is wanting to reveal these things, that we know them, that we trust him, that when we see these things happening, we know that he is in control. That he is in control. We don't have to try to make anything happen. We have to trust our Creator. We have to trust our Savior. Amen? So we see in verse 1 that one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls is speaking with John. Okay? So John sees these seven angels, but one of them comes and they talk to John to give him understanding, because John has recorded these things, and apparently is there perplexity upon his face, his countenance? God discerning his heart, knowing that he needs understanding? Even our hearts in reading it, God knows what we need. And so he says, I'm going to give you understanding. I'm going to show you the judgment of the great harlot so that you understand all of this, John. This angel talked with John and says, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot. You know, let me stop here. Let me stop here because I know that I did not read the scripture. Let us read the scripture. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on the many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw the woman sitting on the scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations, the filthiness of her fornication, and on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with all the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. He was not marveling in the sense of, oh, what beauty, what glory. No. He marveled at the fact that this harlot was before him arrayed like that. But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they see the beast that was and is not and yet is, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. That's us. Remember that. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw, where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot and make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, let us continue. The angel says, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot. So we see all of these things that have happened, that have taken place with the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. And God is showing John and us his judgment on false religion, satanic religion, with the bowls full of wrath, the trumpets, and the seals. Remember that. The great harlot, the prostitute, is false religion. Sits on many waters is people. The waters is people. This harlot is how false religion is described. A prostitute. I want you to understand this is God's description of false religion. Selling, this prostitute selling her lies for money to any and everyone who will follow, to give them first, to give to them first what they want to hear. Listen, people are going to follow someone who will tickle their ears. We know Scripture says that in the last days. They want someone to tickle their ears. Men will be lovers of themselves. We see that today. We see that today. It's happening all around us. Unfortunately, it happens in our own family. If you look at all the photographs that we take of ourselves. To use smooth words that comfort their sinful behaviors. They want comfort. Thus we have parades and months set aside for perversion. Thus we have riots. Thus we have violence against those who want to preserve life. They listen because it is what the sinful heart and mind desire. That's why they listen. That's why their churches are filled to the rim. That's why their downloads of their messages are in the tens of thousands. So many are the people who follow. This prostitute, this harlot, is sitting over many waters. Kings join themselves to the harlot. Fornication. Because of the influence over the many people, I want you to hear this, the political system will join with the religious system to gain the people. All across the world, it is easy for the kings to rule when they support religion that has a message of filth and perversion. Kings enter into a union with the harlot of convenience to themselves and all the peoples of the earth. Become drunk with this intoxicating message. I want to describe to you what it means to be drunk. Affected by alcohol to the extent of losing control of one's faculties. Behavior and all inhibitions gone. All the inhibitions are gone. Their faculties and their behavior, there's no control over that. They're being dominated by intense feelings of either depression or rage or sexual acts. Indecency, their sensibilities are deadened. It destroys all right thinking. And I want you to remember that drunkards hate to drink alone. This is the result of following the harlot. This is what comes of listening to the false message. This is what becomes of those who grab hold to the message of the world and bring it in the church and present it as God bringing forth this message. God is not in agreement with the world. God has not given the world liberty to come and to dissect His Word. His Word stands forever. and those who follow the thinking of the world concerning the false parades, concerning life, concerning marriage, concerning alcoholism, concerning drugs, concerning false gods. They stand against God and His Word. And those who desire that, listen, Satan desires that. He's giving you a false gospel. And those who desire it, the more depraved they become, they just lose all sense. They come to a place that they can't even form a right thought. Every thought that they form is opposite to what the Word of God says. And so when God says that this is right, they say this is wrong. When God says this is good, they say this is evil. Just stop and think of where you are today. In verse 3, the angel shows John the woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which we met in chapter 13. You go back and you read that for yourself. This study is requiring you to study. Okay? The beast is the political system that she is riding on. Religion is riding on the political system. The political system that is full of names of blasphemy. And blasphemy means great disrespect shown to God, capital G. Contempt of God, capital G. Deliberate act. Claiming to be God. We know this is exactly what the beast does and what the religious system will do eventually. The woman, the harlot, is arrayed in purple and scarlet apparel. Gold and precious stones and pearls, jewelry. She has a golden cup in her hand filled with abominations. False gospel. False. Just filled with lies and abominations against God and against His Son, against the Holy Spirit. The filthiness of her fornication. When the world, many waters is people, remember, look at her and see that she is accepted by the beast, the political system, the kings. She is presented as beautiful, beautifully dressed. Purple for royalty, scarlet for the blood. She presents herself as royalty and as savior of man. To follow her is to be saved because she has the message of salvation. We're destroying the world, remember? There's too many people, remember? There are too many cows, remember? There are too many cars, there are too many this, there are too many people. The earth needs saving. Gold is a symbol of worship. Precious stones is the foundation. And pearls represent wisdom. She is presenting a false royalty, a false foundation, and false wisdom. All of that is what is being given to the many waters, given to all the people today who believe those who are so ignorant and speak ignorant words and have no understanding of science, have no understanding of how things actually work. And they get on social media and they declare these things, and our poor young people, and it amazes me at the older people who believe all of this and who will absolutely destroy a human being over a blade of grass. Think of the times that you were living in. This harlot is what God sees. This harlot, this is what was revealed to John. He calls her nothing but a harlot. She presents herself as a royal savior of mankind, deserving worship, having her message of blasphemy as her foundations, as her wisdom. And her wisdom is foolishness and it is insanity. Remember, Satan always wanting to deceive, and he copies everything of God, but he is not perfect. And so everything he does is done from his perspective of what perfection is, and it's the opposite of God. He's not God's opposite, but he is evil. He is not God. I want you to know that. Stand on that firm. He is not God. He is not good. He has no wisdom. He is not a king. And when he is cast into the lake of fire for torment and suffering, Satan will not be a king there. He will never be a king. He may be ruling right now over the powers and principalities and all of that. But I'm telling you, when the time comes for his judgment and his suffering, he'll be suffering just like those who follow him. My beloved family, do not be deceived by the outward appearance of church buildings today. Do not be deceived by preachers who can smile so big and dress so cool and stand on a stage and just give you a good talk to send you out in the world that you may continue on and there be no call to righteousness, no call to repentance, no call to look to God and to know that he is the one who has saved you and that you belong to him. Do not be deceived by these messages that support ungodly worldviews. Do not be deceived by the media, the social apps, the TV and movie, the court jesters who call themselves stars, who think that they are shining to give you light, to lead you into their darkness. They have no light. Their lifestyle is one of opulence, and they are quick to condemn anyone who has worked and gained anything for their work. They are filled with self-indulgence, narcissism, and depravity. And yet they think that they are a star leading you, giving you light to see. And how many people, the only thing they want to hear is what the social media and the apps and all of these who are filling, I can't even keep up with all the different places they are gleaning their understanding from. Those in the church, young people in the church, young couples in the church, they don't turn to the Word of God to know how to live or to raise their families. They turn to these people. And they turn to those who are in these churches that are preaching these messages and writing books like you change your clothes every day. These how-to manuals. Let me tell you the how-to manual. It is tough. And without God, how is your marriage going to survive? Without God, how are your children going to grow up? Without God, how are you going to live and have a testimony before your children, before the world, before the Lord? Do not be deceived by what flashes before your eyes. If all the church world is declaring something, if they are saying this is the way to go, if they are saying this is the book to read, all the church world, and then you notice not only is the church world declaring it, but we see that it is getting support from the court jesters. It is getting support from political leaders. Believe me, it is not from God. It is a snare for your very soul. Verse 5, this harlot in all her glamour and beauty has her name written on her forehead. In other words, the first thing you see identifies her, who she is and what she is all about. In ancient times, the Roman prostitutes wore a headband with their name engraved upon it. So they were recognized. In John's day, when this was written, when this went out to the churches, they knew exactly the sign that John, the symbol that John was using here, that this was a prostitute. John's readers would understand this. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. False religion. Go back and read Genesis 11. She is no mystery. This is her beginning. Nimrod was a mighty hunter of men, is actually what it means in the original. He is the one who designed and brought men together to build the tower. He was the one who was leading the people. So if God wanted to flood the earth, they understood the flood. They knew why they were there, how they got there. They understood that. And Nimrod said, this won't happen again. We're going to build this tower. So he said, if God wants to flood the earth again, we're going to survive. We're going to survive because we're going to build this tower. Not that it was a tall tower. It was a tower unto the heavens, which meant inside all the astrological signs were in there for their worship. It's like we won't follow you, God, any longer, but we are going to follow the stars. What a lie man believed, because every person came together. They all spoke the same language, so they joined together. See, we can't come together outside of the Lord. There is no joining, there is no being of one mind outside of the Lord, because outside of the Lord, this is what we will do, build a tower unto the heavens, so that God cannot. We think that that can stop God. And so what happened was that they were united against God. Nimrod brought all of the known world at that time together to unite against God. Because remember what God had told them to do, they did the opposite. So when God confused their language and men dispersed across the earth, speaking different languages, each took their version of the flood judgment and built their own religion. That's how you have different versions. You have a multitude of versions of the flood in all these different people's group. And so they built their own religions with their own kingdoms, leaving God out, creating their own God in their image or after creation, degrading themselves, debasing mankind generation after generation. And now at this time of the harlot, when mankind is so enlightened, this is future, so enlightened and so evolved, he returns with all of his might to worship once again, collectively, the religion of Babylon. There's nothing new on earth. There's no new sin, just in greater quantity and greater and more determined exuberance in practicing the sin. John was carried away in the spirit into the wilderness for this vision of judgment. He was taken to a dry and desolate place. What other place would you find that? But in a dry and desolate place. This harlot is riding the beast. Best to understand that the beast is allowing her. That's what I want you to see. That she's sitting there riding. But the beast is allowing her to sit in a place of prominence, as though she is in authority over the beast. Or at least they agree as working together, being in unity. Notice, I want you to notice when you read the scripture, she has no reins. She's not holding any reins. What do the reins do? They direct. They're able to direct, go to the right, go to the left, to halt, to go faster. They can invoke swiftness, but the harlot, she only sits and goes in the direction that the beast will carry her. And this is all at his discretion, at his will, his desire, and his plan. She is actually no mystery, and the angel is going to tell John, it is the mother of all idolatry and spiritual adultery. John was living during the time of the Roman rule, and the Romans had a multitude of gods. It wasn't just them that had multitudes of gods. John saw this all through his life, but especially the Romans, because they were ruling, and they were ruling Israel and Jerusalem. So she is the mother of all idolatry and spiritual adultery, spiritual fornicating with the beast that carries her. Supports her from the Tower of Babel. And in the fulfillment of this vision to come, this false religion was conceived in Babylon and has multiplied her children because she's called a mother. She has mothered this religion. She has seen it grow and she has encouraged it. All the things of a mother, you think about this because she is called the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. She's the mother of it. That's what it says. That's how God has recorded this through John. And so she has mothered. She has nurtured abominations and false religion, God haters across the earth. She is the religion of the world system. She is the religion of Satan. World religion is Satan. It belongs to him. What does that mean? Satan's religion rejects Jesus and believes there are many ways to God. That is one of the lies, and eventually that he is God. If you stray from the word of God, she will seduce you and lead you astray, and you will become a casualty. The harlot has caused the death of God's saints and is drunk on the blood, causing her to crave more and more and more. The religion of the day will become enthralled, will be entertained, will desire to see more horrendous death and bloodshed of those who will not accept her message nor the beast. And she will be shouting the loudest, off with their heads. So go back and read the chapters of all those who were killed because they refused the mark of the beast. They refused to worship the beast. They choose Jesus. For those who are listening to my voice now, there are those who've lived a whole life and we've not been in that position. In all my life, I've not had to fear living here in this country where I live. I've had the freedom to worship or not worship, worship. I've not been in communist countries where I did not have that liberty. That's not where I grew up. So I've had this liberty. And if you were living here, you've had this liberty. It's different in different nations. But I see that it is slowly taken away until now. And if you look, it is a speeding train, faster than a speeding bullet, that this will happen. Those during the time of the seals and the trumpets are going to have opportunity to come, and then when the bowls come, there'll be no opportunity. But we see that there will be that time when that beast steps forward and when the harlot is proclaiming that he is God, that if you do not accept that and refuse Jesus, then you die. But those during the times when all of this is being poured out, when they come to the Lord, they don't have long walks with the Lord like we've had. They don't have long regrets or long times of repentance because they've failed so many times. There truly is accounting the cost for them. Think about that, and you just let that just penetrate into your heart. Religion always persecutes true Christ followers, Christians. I have an example here I wanted to read to you. In the days when the Roman Catholic Queen Mary ruled England, she was known as Bloody Mary, some 288 Christians were burnt at the stake for their stand for Christian truth between 1555 and 1558. The first of these martyrs was a man named John Rogers, who, as he stood chained to a stake and the fire rose around him up to his legs and shoulders. He rubbed his hands in the flames as if he were washing his hands in cold water. Then he lifted his hands to the heavens and held them high until he was completely consumed by fire. Rogers went to the stake with such calm and dignity that the French ambassador wrote that he went to his death as if he were walking to his wedding. His courage was so evident that the huge crowd burst into applause when they saw him walking to the stake. God equipped John Rogers for this. Everyone's not called to that. There are those who are, and God equips them to give him glory, to come home to him in such a glory that the majority of Christians do not know. All unbelievers marvel at the sight of this beast. They marvel at the sight of this harlot. Those whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world are the ones who marvel. And it says that in verse 8, the beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to read that verse. As we read on down, it says, when they see the beast that was and is not and that yet is, shall be present. So it's letting us know that it was in the past, it's not, and then it is. It shall be present then. And it says, here is the mind which has wisdom. So he goes on and he explains to him what the seven heads are, the seven mountains. These are seven kings. They're ruling over seven kingdoms. I'm sorry, I misspoke. They are not ruling, but they are seven kings with kingdoms, but no authority. Okay? He goes on to explain about the five have fallen, one is, and one has not yet come. And that's the beast, and that is the Antichrist who will come. And he comes up out of the seven, and he's number eight. Go back and read Daniel. Go back and look at Daniel Nebuchadnezzar's vision. Go back and look at that. Look at the head and the arms and the chest and all of that. There are those who explain that in much more detail, but that's not what I'm doing. It says that there were seven. The number seven means finished or complete. That's what it means. I was thinking about this. What does seven mean? This particular scripture, where it has seven, I believe means finished, that the satanic rule of man and the devil are complete. And the eighth comes out of the seventh. He is there in the seven count, but will emerge from the corporate group because they're all going to give him their authority as number eight. Number eight means new. It's a new beginning. And he will reign for a short while, but he's going to perdition, meaning destruction. He will be destroyed. He only reigns for a little while. When we read this, I don't know what your mind is thinking. I just think all through the years, it was so frightening to me. And I don't remember growing up hearing anyone preach or teach through the book of Revelation. I remember hearing that it'll all pan out. I don't know what else to say about him because he is so unimportant in the fact that he will only be able to reign for a little while because he's going to perdition. He's going to be destruction. So what more needs to be said about him? He is doomed from the time he begins. The time of his reign, he is doomed. God is in control. In verse 12, the ten kings, remember I said they have no kingdom, they just have titles. And that is only for 1 hour, it says. Their time is short. God has determined God has written this. It will all be fulfilled. He's determined the time. He's determined the length of how long he will allow this. And remember, he has the calendar set for when he's going to return. Verse 13 tells us that these kings are so deluded that they give everything to the beast. They're all of one mind. That's what delusion will do to you eventually. If you do not have the mind of Christ and you give yourself over, your delusion will cause you to follow him with no question and give everything to him. Their delusions make them think that they are able to make war with Jesus and win. And I don't know about you, but my mind as a believer, I cannot even comprehend. I can't comprehend because God, there's no describing the greatness and the strength of God and who he is because there's no end to it. Satan is only a fallen angel. And we know what we are. We are people of dust. And they've fallen into that delusion to think that they can make war with God Almighty and that they can defeat him. What a delusion. And every man will come alongside at this time, all the earth, to do war with God. And remember, it's after everything mean. Go back and look at the seals. Go back and look at the trumpets. Look at the things that have happened. They know it's God. They declare it's God. And they cry out and ask the mountain to hide them. And yet, in the end, they continue in that delusion to fight. They're fighting God to the end. Verse 15, then he said to me, the waters which you saw, and then he tells him, he says that they are peoples, they're multitudes, they're nations, they're everyone. Doesn't matter what language they speak, what color their skin is. These are the peoples who believe the lie. In verse 16, we see that the 10 kings hate the harlot, and the harlot will be destroyed by the very one who allowed her to shine. Her end will be ugly. Go back and read about Jezebel and Jezebel's end. Verse 17 says, for God uses them to fulfill his purpose, and this will all come to pass. God will have all of this happen until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. That's who Babylon is. It is the beginning of all the faults. And God has already determined and recorded her destruction. Amen. Amen.